Blog Talk Radio.
My song. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, my brothers and sisters. We're back again. Yes, indeed, we're back again, my brothers and sisters, for another episode, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Reveal. And I'm your host, Edemiah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So indeed, very thankful to the Most High. Thankful to the Most High for the opportunity. Yes, indeed. To speak these very precious words. Just these very precious words the Most High has granted me for the blessing, the reconciliation, the healing of his people. The Most High has told me, yes indeed he's told me, that I have for him some very important things for him to do. And he told me that because of what I must do, he said to me that I would accrue indeed some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am utmost thankful. Blessed are the souls that seek the word of the Most High, direct word from him, that we indeed, my brothers and sisters, that we find repentance under foundation. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, that we learn how not to lie. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he's told me, that I must tell you things. I will even say to you, my brothers and sisters, I must bring you to remembrance concerning things. That men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence. And if they could, my brothers and sisters, to destroy. Well, I can only say to you, my brothers and sisters, there's a serious need to give consideration to what all the prophets have said concerning what is necessary. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, what all the prophets said will be absolutely and is absolutely necessary in these latter days. That there be the hope. I said that there be the hope of salvation. All the prophets, every single one speaking of these latter days, spoke of a need for man to be brought to remembrance, my brothers and sisters, in a time the scriptures call the time of refreshing. A time, my brothers and sisters, that is, if we are wise, we realize must come to be. For by no means dare we say, if we're wise, by no means dare we say, that the multitude of differences that we see among us are the result of our having remembered what the Most High declared is and always was our responsibility as beings created by him. It was always our responsibility, my brothers and sisters, to retain and to remember. What I'm saying to you is that from the very beginning, man was created as the vessel. I said man was created as the vessel for the express purpose of praising the Most High true to who he is. As he declared himself from the beginning, and I don't mean according to the multitude of different standards that we see wise men calling wise in this world today. From the beginning, my brothers and sisters, since the fall, have men chosen to ignore and, if possible, to forget, even to extinguish from the minds the ancient conscience. I said the ancient conscience, my brothers and sisters, it was the minds of ancient saints. And the Most High sent prophets in the midst of the diversitudes that we see in this world. Men, my brothers and sisters, unwilling to be shown up or exposed as having been the defenders of faulty foundations, repetitively over and over again sought to destroy those prophets. Truth of the matter is the Most High promised from the beginning, the coming of one, will restore all things, bring all things to remembrance. Now, the gift of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that the truth of the Most High once brought to remembrance shall remain with man from henceforth even forever. Such as the prophecy we see at Romans 11:25-27, that is related at Isaiah 59, particularly 19-21, when the scriptures say finally, as a latter-day prophecy, the words that the Most High shall put in our mouths shall restore into our mouths, so henceforth remain in the mouths of our children, even our children's children, henceforth even forever. Dare we say, my brothers and sisters, with all the differences among us, that this is the result of our remembrance or our forgetfulness? Knowledge? Knowledge and discretion? Or is it evidence of a lack thereof? One scripture says, in the name of the Most High, for instance, in 1 Corinthians, in the name of the Most High, we all must speak the same thing, no divisions among us. See, if there are be strife and divisions among us, we are functioning as worldly men. The scripture says that for all that the Most High had granted man to know, or had granted man to receive, in other words, all that was written, it had not been enough for man to collectively as one know Yah, meaning it had not been enough for man functioning after his carnality to know as one unto peace Yah as he is. Who then, my brothers and sisters, will discern the meaning of the scripture that says in 1 Corinthians 3:18-4:5 in particular, whoever considers himself wise in this world after the differences is seen wise in this world, men having the law of the Most High but not seeking its meaning by direct the revealed faith. Discerning that not all have heard the preaching of the gospel. Discerning that not all claim to declare the words are true to its meaning. How many, my brothers and sisters, will understand that we only know again how to love Yah when we seek the revelation of who he is as he has declared himself from the beginning? Acts 3:18-23, the Most High comes in the revealing himself through his Messiah. Scripture speaks about a time of refreshing in Acts 3:18-23. It says Messiah must remain in heaven until the times of refreshing, times of remembrance, times for the restitution of all things, according to all the Most High has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophet since the world began. Since whoever will not hearken to him after his anointing as a prophet will be cut off from among the people. My brothers and sisters, how many of us realize then the truth of the scriptures at Deuteronomy 29:29-30:15? It ultimately relates that the love of Yah is that we remember all that the Most High has declared, that our children and even our children's children might be prepared for the great day when the righteousness of Yah is again unto all mankind brought to remembrance. As I said before, all prophecy declared there must for salvation come. For salvation's sake, come. Times of refreshing, the times of remembrance. Time of refreshing and remembrance that would not be necessary if man had only not forgotten, if men had only remembered rather than presumed to confuse mankind after presumptuousness, after misimaginations as to what is the way of peace. Isaiah 42:16 says that Messiah must come to lead the people by a way that they knew not. How about the way of truth that many have forgotten? Isaiah 59:8-16 says, the way of peace men have not known. How about my brothers and sisters, they have long forgotten? Think about it. If men knew the way of peace, they would know the one way, the one path, the one righteousness. The righteousness of Yah, my brothers and sisters. For man is kind of righteous only for Yah, if in his heart is the unrestrained compunction and drive to remember and to consider all the Most High declared from the beginning. Abraham believed Yah. The scripture said it was counted to him for righteousness. Most High told Abraham to walk after him and seek what is his perfect will. His children will be a blessing to all nations. Hear my brothers and sisters, that was declared long ago. How many generations of Abraham's children, my brothers and sisters, must be one before as a people we are one? A dare so many believe that it's not possible, or it's not divine purpose, that all this be remembered? Well, I ask the question, how else then, my brothers and sisters, shall it be the great day of judgment when all are gathered together in the time of resurrection? How else shall it be that we shall all be on the same page? Hear me, my brothers and sisters, no generation should exalt what it calls wisdom against all others coming. In fact, if they have wisdom, unto the same remembrance. Only the most humble soul will receive this. I said before, scriptures declare, everywhere the scriptures talk about the regathering of Israel. But regathering, my brothers and sisters, based upon men coming to remember. To remember what the Most High declared from the beginning. Again, that would not be necessary if there were not so much that men have forgotten and ignored. Because men have chosen to ignore what is wisdom, what is knowledge. It is because of this, my brothers and my sisters, that we see so many divisions among men. Most I told me that the greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know. What they think they know, not giving all things the Most High said consideration, is not wisdom at all. I thank the Most High that from the very beginning he began to tell me things that most have hardly, for many generations, even begun to know. Many of these truths, as we speak, are on my website, hiddengospel.com. But my question, my brothers and sisters, how many will be willing to receive them? But many believe and have come to think that because humanity has forgotten much truth, many are not prepared to receive it, that it might be restored. Many are prepared to believe that it's not important. There's ancient wisdom, my brothers and sisters, that all the ancient patriarchs had. Abraham, Moshe, Noah, Yishak, Yaakov, all the prophets had. Shall we say it's not important because men have forgotten the true essence of their words? So much so that men cannot agree? I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. There's a reason why the scripture says, there's a reason why the scriptures say The one called the Son of Righteousness that arises must bring healing upon his lips. He said, remember. In fact, he must come to bring to remembrance the heart of the fathers, ancient Hebrew fathers, to the children, and the heart of the children to that of the ancient fathers. And it's only by this, my brothers and sisters, that shall the world be reconciled, and that a world might have peace. For the only offering the Most High will accept from mankind, I repeat, the only offering the Most High will accept is peace. He is one, his people must also be one. Which means, my brothers and sisters, that the differences we see among us are not the result of our having been true to duty, but the result of a dereliction and a neglect, even a blindness that has come as a result of having been flattered by the diversities of the nations, as if to say that if man is just simply okay by right of his leaders, it was sufficient unto the kingdom of Yah. Well, I can tell you, the scriptures tell us well, your righteous must exceed that of your leaders. Else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. It is only by faith in what the Most High reveals himself. Because quite frankly, many are intimidated when you talk about, I said that many who are intimidated when you start talking about remembering all that the Most High spoke through his holy prophets since the world began. When you start talking about having to remember the initial essence of ancient ideas having monumental implications relative to the life experience of people of the times. When you're talking about remembering that magnificent essence over the course of ages, when the world by and large has so many misrepresentations, no sure reference point with that single conscience to tell people that they must remember this is extremely intimidating. But the scriptures tell us if we love Yah, we'll seek to keep, preserve, remember his commandments, his conscience. He said he petitioned the Father for the spirit of truth, which the world, and those who would forget, so the world might remain divided, would not deceive. He says, you love me, keep my commandments. Keep his instruction. Keep and preserve what he reveals of his conscience. And he said he could reveal even more. But what about those who don't retain even that foundation, my brothers and sisters? What good is it just to explain reveal great truth so people refuse to remember the foundation upon which all truth is established? Such as this will only take everything you give them and corrupt it to everyone's misadvantage and to no one's salvation. All prophecy has foretold this, even declaring that when that initial truth again is known, men will realize the treachery of all the systems that they have trusted, political, social, and religious in this world, that they all shall fall, because all shall know that not all of them were infirmity. None of them were trustworthy. I'll tell you about a dream the Most High gave me many years ago. As it began, I was in the midst of a sand dune, sandy, if you will, desert. Very cloudy, foggy desert. Barely could see my feet, but I could feel that they were in the sand. Yeah, and I knew I was wearing sandals for that matter. But like I said, I could barely see my own feet. Barely see my hands in front of my own face. Can you imagine being in the midst of a sandy desert, in the midst of a dense fog? Nothing seems to be an earmark as to which way to go. You look around you and there are dunes in every direction which obscure your vision to see very far. How do you know which way to go? Such a situation. Immediately it comes to mind that you know you're quite lost without direction. I remember in the midst of this, wondering which way shall I turn? And the wind seemed to blow up, and it seemed to clear the fog a bit. And I saw a huge castle. I saw a huge castle. So, oh boy, there's some place. And I began to walk toward it. So maybe they'll tell me about some direction, or so maybe some place I can at least hold as a reference point until this, they say maybe this dense fog and this dense fog and some of this windy changing of scenery, constant changing scenery, how these sand dunes might be brought to an end. I might see perhaps some way to go. Now, as I began to walk toward it, I heard the voice of the Most High say aloud with a thunderous voice, "This is Babylon. You shall see this thing as it is." Thank the Most High that you told me even then that one day I would see past all this confusion. And he made it plain that the only thing that I could trust was the guidance of his voice. He told me I'd best, without question, hearken to him, lest someone make a fool of me. He told me, hearken to him, because what men call wisdom and their short-sightedness, their lack of vision, has not been wisdom at all. He told me in advance, my brothers and sisters, that there were no more ministers in the earth, no one whose word was pure enough to truly be unto the salvation and the healing of his people. Isaiah 59:16 said, "The Most High looked upon men, saw no intercessor." Psalm 53 said the same thing. None who looked, Most High looked and saw none who sought Yah. How about who sought Yah or knew how much they needed to seek Yah? Isaiah 41:21-42:4, Most High looked and he saw none that preached truth of the gospel. It means everybody's word was simply what supported their own pulpits and their so-called kingdoms. He called them abominations because they would not and could not declare what from the beginning is eternal, that they might be truly his witnesses. But he said he would send forth one saying, "Behold, my servant, my elect, my soul delights. For my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth justice. I shall wait for his law." Even the remembrance, my brothers and sisters, of righteousness, remembrance of the way of life, even, my brothers and sisters, of return to love. I want you to consider, please, the message that you're going to hear tonight and the precepts in it are very, very important. To whoever it is, I said whoever it is, who would ever attain to the hope of salvation. There's so much more to love. Wow. I've been, of late, deeply contemplating this remembrance the scriptures say must be. And I find it kind of amazing in the midst of such contemplations yesterday, in fact. Yesterday, early morning yesterday, I heard a song about remembrance. Even remembrance, if you will, the principles of love. Generic song, perhaps in its initial intent, but precepts contained in it that if only we as a people, as a humanity, understood, let's just say, that which the Most High grants us, that we might learn truly how to love, would be much more precious to us. Love itself. The knowledge of what it is. The opportunity to love. To us would be so much more precious. The definition of love. to us would be so much more precious. Let's just say there's so much more to love, more than what is life and peace. So much more to what is life and peace. And the fire that men have called agape love. For there was agape, my brothers and sisters, there was a those who have a monotheist expectation understand there was a word for love long before this Greek polytheist word filled with compromise that they call agape. Agape can love everything but an absolute, so it can't possibly be the love of the Most High. It's a pagan Greek word for love under the preservation of all the compromises and all the false gods that men had endorsed, refusing to recognize their lack of knowledge and even having forgotten the foundation of what indeed before one Most High is life, love, and peace. It is a mass compromise, my brothers and sisters. In fact, it is a mass hypocrisy. An umbrella that men have called love, sanctioning a multitude of differences and contradictions to such a degree that men have no love, again, my brothers and sisters, for any absolute. Oftentimes, blinding themselves not to recognize their ignorance. And my brothers and sisters, without question, surely choosing to forget and choosing to ignore the fact, the very fact that since we see the world divided, political, social, and pseudo-religious differences all over the globe, that there's a need to remember, my brothers and sisters, something very important. The word of Yah, the thoughts of Yah, the promise of Yah, the peace of Yah, the covenant command of Yah that is expected of every single soul that will cry out and call out in association avowed unto his name. But there are those, my brothers and sisters, too proud to admit that the scriptures declare a need for remembrance, lest they realize so much of what man has forgotten, and man's forgetfulness is the foundation for so many false institutions and misallegiances, and the sin of misallegiance and scattered-mindedness, double-mindedness, plural-mindedness, and false pride has kept this world from being one. Like I said, agape being jaded is the disguise for all the misconceits and forgetfulness of an irreverently prideful humanity after a multitude of illusions, pretenses, and misallegiances was never humble and faithful love for Yah as he is. So much more than what seeks to appease or what appeases the first priority of the flesh, the many fragilities, instabilities, and infidelities, and selfish desires of personal flesh. So much more than this, my brothers and sisters, must be remembered. For what is it, my brothers and sisters, that leaves man divided in his concepts, but the lusts, the pretenses of his flesh? Holy Spirit is from the beginning eternal, and it's not the spawning ground for infidelity, inconsistency, forgetfulness, or irreverence. Double-minded apathy, or even antipathy against the perfect will and zeal of Yah for the truth of His Spirit, the truth that is clear from the beginning. The double-minded designs of men not to remember what is from the beginning, even what from the beginning is Yah, even what from the beginning is life and love, my brothers and sisters, is not love at all. For it is in subduing the flesh by the Spirit that we at last are subduing the presumptuousness that seems wise to us in this age, in realizing what the Spirit would reveal of old. In remembrance of this, my brothers and sisters, do we learn again how to love. Scriptures speak of Messiah saying, from the beginning, from the creation, there am I, to show you the way that you could go. And now the Most High has sent me with his spirit, saying, oh, that you had kept, remembered his commandments. Then your peace would have been as a river, your righteousness as the waves of the sea. Meaning that Most High gave his spirit a remembrance for a reason. But without that remembrance that of the truth that men should never have forgotten, man, my brothers and sisters, has been a slave. A slave to a damning matrix wherein, since certain very precious truths were always hid, men had no chance at life, no chance at peace, no chance of unilateral, consummate, common understanding. Most I told me the greatest gift that he can give is a law on which men might love, trust, and cooperate. Messiah comes, my brothers and sisters, as the gift of the Most High to bring all these things to the remembrance of men. But who will be humble enough, my brothers and sisters, to love enough to admit the need for that remembrance? The double-minded antipathy, my brothers and sisters, against remembrance of what the Most High declares from the beginning, or what he would reveal by his Spirit. To hate that remembrance, my brothers and sisters, is not love, but a preference for unrighteousness. Scripture says, those who prefer unrighteousness, having no love of the truth, shall be damned. Those who prefer what has come as a result of the infiltrations and intrusions of carnal-minded misgiving, those who prefer such corruption rather than repentance and return to a pure and perfect and holy absolute, have never had the love of Yah. And where else, my brothers and sisters, does the love for a multitude of pluralist contradictions come from? But from my brothers and sisters, or let's just say as a result of mass intrusion. But true and consummate love is the only offer. True and consummate love, my brothers and sisters, even for the remembrance of all the Most High declared to him, to bring to bear everything that he has spoken, everything that he has promised, everything that he has envisioned. A true and consummate love for all, only for all that fruition, all that vision come to bear. That perfect, the honorable devotion unto Yah, faithfulness unto Yah, steadfastness unto Yah. That is the only offering acceptable unto him. The scriptures speak, the apostle said, I beseech you in the mercies, what should be your gratitude for the Most High showing you again the truth. That you present yourself as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto Yah. By the renewing of your mind, how about the remembrance, my brothers and sisters, of that which should never have been forgotten? Again, the scriptures tell us in Deuteronomy 29:29, there must be this remembrance. He said, all these things that man for so many ages forgotten among the nations, where it did not appear that these things were important, where men were made abominations rather than faithful witnesses. Scripture talks about all these things, my brothers and sisters, the most humble soul must come to realize, must come to bear, even must come to love the opportunity to discern, that men might have an opportunity to repent, have an opportunity unto forgiveness. For there is no forgiveness, my brothers and sisters, in constant forgiveness. When the Most High would reveal himself, those who know that the only hope for salvation before him who brings to remembrance all things the Most High spoke by his prophets since the world began, knowing the only hope of salvation is seeking indeed, my brothers and sisters, after the Spirit, that remembrance. Scripture talks about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, brings all things to remembrance, teaches all things, rebukes all sin. How about all the misallegiances that men have held dear in their forgetfulness? That is what the Holy Spirit rebukes. And the truth, my brothers and sisters, that there's a collective conscience of all the saints is what the Holy Spirit seeks to bring to remembrance. Scripture says that this salvation is not after the conceits of men, but ultimately unto the good works which Yah has from the beginning foreordained. It says, if we're strangers to the commonwealth of Israel, the covenants of the promise, Oh, the covenants of the promise, the word that is from the beginning, the word that is not after the conversation of men. Say, we're strangers to this. Say, we're without hope, without Yah, without the hope of salvation, and in the world, blinded by the differences that are in it. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, that these very verses, when the scripture talks about the conversion of mankind, Messiah saying, go ye forth and teach all nations everything that he commanded, even concerning his sovereign authority, his sovereign command, baptizing, purging men of every allegiance to partial and impure standards. The scripture is saying, my brothers and sisters, that the word from the beginning that is with Yah and eternal, that word, my brothers and sisters, from the beginning, is indeed like a sharp two-edged sword, able to tell the thoughts and intents of the minds and the hearts. Meaning, my brothers and sisters, that it is the word that is from the beginning, and Messiah will come to bring the whole world has chosen to ignore and forget, that will discern, my brothers and sisters, who it is that would serve Yah and who would serve him not. Meaning that the test of the human soul will be, my brothers and sisters, whether or not men have in them the heart and the reason and the humility to seek Yah that they may reason according to his revelation of himself. I did not say, as the scriptures speak of in Hosea, falling short in that the scriptures say that men have taken counsel together among themselves and none at all will exalt him, being inclined to backslide from him. I'm talking about Hosea. Read about 11:5 of Hosea. It says, because the whirlwind shall whirl upon their cities. Look at 11:5-12, Hosea, and understand what I'm talking about. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, the scripture says the word of Yah is from the beginning, that we only prove our love for him if we seek the remembrance with Most High at the beginning, that we all who have sought the truth of his name and who have trusted in him might all in every way be one. Woe to the prideful who dare to say that because of man having grown weary in his understanding, having become forgetful, the scripture says, if you really understand it, in Isaiah 40:27-41:4. Well, I can only say, blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, of those who seek the Most High, that they might renew their strength, might be renewed to the ancient conscience, the ancient collective conscience that the Most High has always desired for his people. Say, who has stood up this righteous one like the rising sun, who restores the light that the whole world would obscure, who cast out all the darkness, says the Most High himself. Messiah, the scripture says in Revelation 19, out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword with which he should smite the nations. His word, my brothers and sisters, is like a remembrance of all the Most High declared from the beginning. Will indeed, my brothers and sisters, prove foolish all the faulty, fallen, aftermath of so much deviation, standards, and allegiances of man, for every allegiance to the short-sightedness and half-truths that men have called wise have been obstacles against man seeking the greater truth, obstacles against man discerning the foundation. Revelation 16:12-21, echoing Isaiah 25:1-6. Basically relates that when man remembers that foundation, all the systems of this earth will fall. Most High said he would raise up a kingdom that would break in pieces all other kingdoms, showing the infirmity and the folly of all the rulers, pastors, priests, rabbis, elders, kings, all. Isaiah 44:20-45:6. 41st chapter of Isaiah 27:41:4. Malachi 3:16-3:4 all say the same thing. The Messiah will silence the voices of all the rulers. Isaiah 52:15, because his vision is greater than the sons of men, greater than confusion, that is, the differences of men, for he is the Son of Man. So the scripture says, who then will believe his report when he comes? To shut the mouth, to prove foolish the words of kings, when men finally are able to consider, or called to consider, so much of what for a long time they've forgotten and not considered. Talk about Isaiah 52:15-53:1. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. The word from the beginning is that sharp two-edged sword. For who is going to believe him who declares the initial foundation? But those whom, my brothers and sisters, anointed by his spirit, have been considered of what the Most High has called an everlasting, unchanging standard and requirement. Do you think what the Most High has required of the saints is deferred, been different over the course of ages, when what the Most High declared this world must be was declared from the beginning? He says, if you can't declare in Isaiah 41, or if your testimony does not declare what is foundation, that you men might understand what is the depravity of this current age, and what must bring an end to its confusion, that you might discern also what is the eventuality of all things under peace. Scripture says that's an abomination. It's not the result of his spirit. But that's exactly what his spirit will reveal. And those who have that spirit and have exercised themselves strong in that spirit will be prepared to hear the words of Messiah rather than to despise his words simply because they were not complicit with what they thought or presumed they knew. There's a reason why the scripture said, to whom shall he teach knowledge? To whom shall he make to understand the report? Because many of they will only believe what they believe is complicit in what they thought was wise after worldly orientation. The Messiah comes to expose it all as foolishness. Because whatever is not based upon the initial foundation, looking at what the Most High declared as an eventuality, all of it is unstable. And my brothers and sisters, having no love for the absolution of what that is, is not love at all. It's not faith at all. And in fact, my brothers and sisters, it's predisposing the minds, the result of men having fought against the knowledge of what they've forgotten. Fought against Yah. Wherever it is, my brothers and sisters, wherever it is, whatever truth of Yah, it is. The men would seek to disavow, dishonor, discredit for men's own lack of knowledge. My brothers and sisters, has not been the love of Yah but hate. Has not been absolution but confusion. Who will understand in this time? Yah is love, my brothers and sisters. How can men say then they love? In a world of so many differences and men seeking to hold to them rather than seeking the wisdom that transcends them all. To love Yah and know that there's an absolute and see a world filled with so many differences, knowing this result of ignorance and forgetfulness, should compel the soul to remember that there might be a healing. But has that been the design and desire of most who call themselves believers? Or have they just sought for an idolatrous institution, a belief system that would flatter them till their faith is no more, till their trust is in the pursuit of the vanities and the praise of men and not Yah? A love of so many misrepresentations that men are utterly destroyed by their desire to be comforted after what could never bring peace or understanding at all. Scripture said, the way of peace, men have not known. What is peace? It's that one way the Most High has required all must believe and be true to, that in him we all be one. And if a world is confused by many misrepresentations not to know this, it means the way of peace men have not known. It means, in fact, the gospel of peace men have not known. That's exactly what's written in Isaiah 41-42, but many don't have the kind of humility necessary to receive it. Most High told me that he sends prophets to speak with others, would not. He told me directly, my brothers and sisters, as I told you before, the greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know. What they think they know, not giving all things consideration, has not been wisdom at all. The nature of a lie is he will always tell you a half-truth, even though it leave you on faulty foundation to be exploited. Do you think, my brothers and sisters, that a liar would tell you that he is lying to you, leaving you to be exploited by your trust? I said your trust in half-cocked, hasty conclusions drawn because there's certain truths you did not know. I tell people all the time, and I can prove it in Scripture, Book of Isaiah alone even is necessary to understand it. But I could take so much other Scripture and prove it too. Scriptures like those at Isaiah 11:10-12. Isaiah 53, if you couple it together. Isaiah 24:10-16. Isaiah 45, how about 44:20-45:6. 59:19-21. My brothers and sisters, according to even those prophecies, what is soon to be revealed to man cannot possibly be just the second appearing of Messiah, but the third. Very few will understand that, my brothers and sisters, lest they comprehend all the words of the prophets, like what Zephaniah said at 3:8. Zechariah said at 3:8 and at 6:12. Concerning the one who was called the branch, the one who was called sunrise. Messiah saying himself at Revelation 22:16, that he is the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And all the prophecies concerning that one that had already come, not having yet come to pass, and he's saying him, he is that one. Meaning that all those prophecies we see at Isaiah 45 are prophecies of Yeshua himself. But how many are ready to accept that? If he said he's the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star, it says when you expect him as the one who will fully and finally fulfill all those prophecies. The one who comes to bring to remembrance all things. The one who comes to bring an end of Babylon once and for all. One who comes to release Israel from being captive refugees among the nations, trusting after the ways of the Gentiles. The scriptures speak about one who delivered Israel from Babylon East 2,600 years ago. The prophecies say one called the King of the East, same thing as the angel from the rising sun, the King of the East, the righteous one from the East, Isaiah 41. The scriptures talking about preparing the people for the coming of the King of the East. The Messiah says, "Behold, I come." How many will understand that he is one and the same? Or dare men say that that one that's called the King of the East, the righteous one from the East, who we call his anointed Messiah, and Yahshua are two different Messiahs? When both of them speak of the same one destroying Babylon and the confusion of the world once and for all? I know a lot of folks might hear, and that sounds strange to you. I can only tell you that Rome did everything they could to silence that expectation. Much of what is the testimony declaring this truth, that page after page after page after page after page of biblical evidence can be found on my website, hiddengospel.com, an article called Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. Page after page after page of exhaustive biblical information making these comparisons that men might understand it. However, my brothers and sisters, there are those who are so wrapped up by traditions of a society that would keep you blind, that they would not be willing to entertain these things. What did I tell you before? The scripture says in the last days the Most High is going to bring all things to remembrance. And all those who are willing to remember those things that men have forgotten and not considered, my brothers and sisters, will be found worthy into the kingdom of Yah. The Messiah said, "Think not that I've come to dishonor or discredit in any way the law of the prophets." He said, "If in any way then your righteousness or your expectation according to what the Most High declared, lest it exceed the dereliction of duty and neglect and treachery of your leaders who didn't teach you these things," he said, "you should not enter the kingdom of Yah." There's a reason, my brothers and sisters, they would cause you to forget what I call the secret city prophecies. The prophecies concerning who Messiah said he is, according to what the scripture says, must be a testimony in all the churches as to who he said he is according to all the prophecies. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, they wanted you to forget these things. They had no love of Yah. Messiah said, if you love me, you will keep, preserve, maintain, and defend. For people who hate it, that these truths restored would bring an end to this Babylonian system. Sought to keep you blind to all these things. Can't tell you how many prophecies there are in the scripture altogether. That if you really start looking at the times that it's translated city and sometimes not, how many times, my brothers and sisters, the prophets keep on saying the Messiah will appear to a city in the last days. Zephaniah 3:1-5 is a good one, quick example. Messiah will appear to a city in the last days, seeking to tell that city about the need to be reproved and to repent beyond its multitude of confusions. Zephaniah 3 says it. Isaiah 24:10-16 says it. 25:1-3 says it. 27:9-12 speaks of it. Isaiah 66, how about 6:6-15 says it. Hosea 11:5-12 speak of it in implication. First prophecy concerning Messiah, Numbers 24:14-17-19 say it. All these prophecies speak about a city and the last day through which Messiah shall be revealed and his destruction, because the people were never taught these things that should never have been forgotten. And not knowing how to expect Messiah, scripture says, he for whom you are waiting shall suddenly come to his temple, which means he's coming in a way that men had not expected. Men had not prepared for the coming of the Son of Man. Not realizing, my brothers and sisters, that all this confusion is not the grace of Yah. That all this confusion, my brothers and sisters, is a result of man having refused the gift of divine order, love, peace, truth, and understanding. If we choose to forget that there's a need for an humbling remembrance, have we loved Yah, or have we loved fatal, faith-killing flattery? Which, my brothers and sisters? Most High says that the conscience of man and the appearance of Messiah again will be found utterly corrupt in so many ways. All that too, my brothers and sisters, is in such scriptures like Psalm 14, Psalm 53, Isaiah 59, Isaiah 41-42. Hey, the book of Jude, 2 Peter. So many prophecies over and over again, my brothers and sisters. Isaiah 40 all the way out to the 66th chapter. The words of every single prophet over and over again. Hey, the scriptures talk about in Jeremiah 30-31, talk about the people of Israel finally overcoming the times of Gentile oppression that's called Jacob's trouble. Talks about the Most High restoring his people, drawing them back to him. Huh. Saying he would write his laws, teach his laws upon the minds and hearts, unto remembrance that men no longer be subject to others. And it speaks of Messiah saying these words. Who is this that would turn his heart, who would draw near to me? He said, I will turn his heart towards me. Why? The Most High has promised that he would awaken a soul that he has elected, even will anoint. According to what's written in Isaiah 49, someone coming forth saying, listen to me, O Isles, hearken to me, O you nation. The Most High is coming from far, from the womb, from the body of my mother, they made mention of my name, and the shadow of his hand has concealed me to bring Israel back to him. He's made my mouth like a short two-edged sword, even that he might bring Israel back and be his salvation to the ends of the world. One who the kings have despised and will never speak of. The prophecy said again in advance that when you find about these things, no one has told you but the Most High, and your leaders have not. Well, all the prophecies, my brothers and sisters, speak the same. Why don't your leaders not tell you? Because all those prophecies say that this appearing of Messiah must silence every lie. And who do you think it is, my brothers and sisters, that's maintaining the misrepresentations? But all your leaders. Scripture said they wouldn't speak of these things lest they be exposed in their treachery. Read Isaiah 24:10-16 and understand. It told you in advance your leaders wouldn't tell you these things. So certainly your righteousness must exceed that of your leaders who hide the truth, that you find the truth and remember by the Spirit what is necessary to awaken to the ancient reality. Or how, my brothers and sisters, shall men be called the heirs of the ancient Hebrew fathers? I know what I'm saying might sound strange to a lot of people because most are so blinded by worldly status quo. If you told them something outside of what is common to, let's just say, what receives the praise of men, men so long shutting down their own minds. Some people, I've had one guy even before while we attended, he told me he didn't want to think. He is afraid of what he might find out. Now, many of my brothers and sisters who have done this have compromised themselves and not realizing that one of the biggest sin a man can commit is seeking the words and the expectations of man to define the constraints of his fruition rather than seeking Yah who made it. Like I said before, my brothers and sisters, every lie, every false expectation that men hold dear is an obstacle against men's understanding. Why don't they tell you about the prophecies about how Messiah appears? The one the Most High sends, that he turns his heart toward him. But I tell you how Most High told me. He reveals to his prophets his heart, that they might discern the hearts of men. The word Most High reveals to his prophets, true to what is from the beginning, will discern the hearts of all men, whether they choose to love the foundation or some corrupt perversion, misrepresentation, deviation, devilish deception, antithetical against the only foundation that can restore us to love. When we remember what the Most High from the beginning imagined, conceived, and decreed for this world unto life and peace. We can remember that and have a heart to realize what is necessary that it be brought to bear and preserved. My brothers and sisters, then and only then will we know how to love. Yah's love, not knowing there needs to be a restoration and despising the idea about a need for restoration in order to seek to preserve falsehood, has been hatred against the covenant, my brothers and sisters, hatred against peace, hatred against life itself. So if we haven't loved the hope of a restoration, what have we loved but stagnation? What have we lusted after, my brothers and sisters, what simply appeases personal flesh? Like I said, that agape word is not the love of Yah, it's the love of the differences seeming wise to the flesh. Scripture said, if we walk after the flesh, we will die. But if we subdue the flesh, are the multitude of differences that men want to call wise by the wisdom of the Spirit and the love of the truth, he said, we shall live. I want you to hear me, my brothers and sisters. If we haven't loved what the Most High declared from the beginning and the eventuality, and have loved something else, another expectation that leaves the world compromised and filled with folly, what then have we loved? Have we loved what Yah loves and knows is in him our only hope for healing? Or if we want to see another scenario, 45,000 denominations all saying something different in so many ways. If we haven't loved that one truth, my brothers and sisters, how many lies have we come to love? That we remain after this world in so many ways, divided, conquered, and 2 Thessalonians says, damned. I can say, my brothers and sisters, that the wicked who have hidden from us the remembrance and the expectation of what we should have never forgotten, who Messiah said he is, what he comes to do, how he shall appear, that we don't miss the boat. Refusing to remember that, choosing to believe a lie because it is commonplace to a divided society, you love the contradictions, son. I'm going to tell you, it's not been love at all. And the wicked who would hide the truth and leave men without instruction have done great damage to the minds, the hearts, the souls, and even the mutual sense of devotion to what is cause and purpose in the Most High. And has scattered the minds after many hypocrisies and all manner of devilish, international, unfounded, unfirm, fragile misallegiances upon which the Holy Kingdom could never be established, and no conscience so double-minded, let's just say after no double such double conscience, is any conscience found worthy of divine reward. Book of Jacob says, we're scattered among the nations, among a multitude of provocations, misrepresentations against the pure will of Yah, lacking wisdom, it says we yet need to ask him. I thank the Most High that I'm now 30 years knowing, thanking the Most High for knowing certain truths, knowing that lest all things that we have as an expectation be true in certain particulars, the Most High told me from the beginning that it all was a lie. It's been 30 years that I've known to seek Yah rather than men for wisdom. And I thank him for constantly revealing to me, for your sakes, another dimension of that truth. Because only in remembering, my brothers and sisters, what is from the beginning. What does Scripture say? In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with Yah, the Word was Yah. In the beginning then was the promise, the conceits, the ideas, the premise, the covenant of the Most High. It is of and from Yah. I didn't say of men. It's not divided, nor has it stabilized up the thoughts of men. And it is eternal. Meaning, whenever men have not had this truth, hey, men have sinned, believed lies, and was never under salvation. That word, the Most High declared from the beginning, is a constant. It's the only hope of life. The word from the beginning is life, life, and peace. Nothing else. What does Scripture say? Oh, had you kept what I declared from the beginning, then your peace would have been as a river. And I would not have beheld your descendants destroyed from before me. That is the word of Messiah and its appearing to mankind in the latter days. Why don't they teach you Isaiah 48? So you know that the grace of Yah then must be the remembrance of what the Most High has always declared. The fruition of all that he has declared, all things understood, fully reinforced together. Mm-hmm. That's the only love. Who will humble themselves to understand in this time. And count themselves blessed. And in fact, I'm going to tell you right now, if you got to have now have the opportunity, because you found this show, and you found where, if you look in the chat, you can see the URLs, the addresses on the web, to articles containing such precious information. The Scripture said in advance that your rulers would not tell you. Though it's Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and I would advise you. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't intend to look at my website with a Bible wide open, prayerful to the Most High, don't even try it. It's not for you. These words are for the most humble and diligent souls. And believe me, only diligence seeking the Most High will prove you worthy to discern these things to the dimension they need to be understood. The Most High needs people who will seek him as a firm foundation. And believe me, no man of infirmity is worthy to help rebuild or to establish upon this earth the kingdom that the Most High says, or he's spoken of, that we must petition for. When we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I say again to you, Scriptures in 2 Kepha, 2 Peter, first chapter, say by diligence for knowledge you make your election sure. Meaning there's a dimension of truth is given to the most diligent soul, humbly and faithfully, seekfully seeking Yah. Not just saying, okay, I read it, I understand it, but knowing that if you know what's said and don't know why it is said, you're missing the point. You're just establishing your own righteousness and establishing another division against the peace. These words, my brothers and sisters, are for those who know this word is not of any private interpretation, that the Most High declared a plan from the beginning and declaring anything else. What the Scripture said in Matthew 12:36? for every foolish or deceptive word, stagnating word, idle word. It's compelled men not to seek the greater truth. For every idle or stagnating or deceptive word, insufficient word then, that a man speaks, misconceived that he has then, he should give account for it in the judgment. You need to think about what it means, my brothers and sisters, when it says, man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yah. The Messiah will come forth in a time of refreshing to bring to remembrance. Call men to give account with regard to every word the Most High has spoken through his holy prophets since the world began. Whoever does not will, has no will, my brothers and sisters, to remember the peace that was from the beginning before man's falling away. Since the word of Yah from the beginning is Yah, whoever does not desire the word from the beginning is not willing to humble themselves, that the Most High grants them anointing, that all that ancient experience becomes part of their memory. Whoever does not want that experience to the humbling and conversion of their souls has not had the love of Yah at all. They had no part in the covenant, but believe me, my brothers and sisters, the people who will be participant in that blessing will have that remembrance. Isaiah 41:21 through 43:15, particularly reading again from the 6th to the 9th verse, the 43rd chapter, says you are an abomination if you have not that memory, which means that you are the product of the inspiration or the teaching of another and not he. The Holy Spirit seeks to bring to remembrance all things. No lie in it. Bring to remembrance then, my brothers and sisters, what the Most High declared from the beginning, that we should henceforth never again forget. Who will understand it in this time? And who will understand that these are that time? How powerful then, my brothers and sisters, the remembrance is the expectation of the promised one. When the scripture says in the beginning was the word, the word debar in Hebrew means promise, even means promise one. I mean, the Most High has promised from the beginning to bring, send forth one who will be in remembrance of all things declared from the beginning that is true and steadfast throughout eternity as eternal. If men, my brothers and sisters, have not looked for that reprover and have not looked to be reproved, to be assured that what they have is light, not darkness, have they loved Yah or not? Yah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him. I did not say the presumptuousness of man. I didn't say the confusion of man that comes as a result of a fall. I didn't say the scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, zealots, Essenes, the various rulers among the Gentiles. I said those who believe in him, that they might not perish, that they might have everlasting life, even have the word of everlasting life, the word of eternal truth. For having your vessel filled with that word makes your vessel worthy if you are a preserver of that word. He said, receive the engrafted word within which is able to save your souls, my brothers and sisters. And the scripture says, those who love the light will come into the light. But this is the condemnation of the world. The men have loved darkness more than light. But those who love the light will come to the light to be sure that what they do, what they have wrought, it's through Yah, but there are those, my brothers and sisters, who will not come into the light lest their works should be reproved, because their deeds, their thoughts, their conceits, even what they have conspired to preserve, to create in the world, has been evil. Again, my brothers and sisters, if we read Yohanan, John 1 and 1, in the context of 314 to 321, Yohanan, we begin to understand that only those who have a love for what the Most High would reveal by His Spirit as a remembrance of what has always been His eternal intent, only they, my brothers and sisters, have the hope of salvation, of oneness, even to be called heirs of those unto whom the promises were first given. How powerful then, my brothers and sisters, the expectation of the ancient promises. There's an article on my website called Remember the Promise. I even say, remember the promise one. But the promise one, my brothers and sisters, declares the truth that exposes as foolish your allegiance to all your rulers, all your kings, all your pastors, all your rabbis, all the elders, calling them all false prophets because they did not speak of these things to you. He said, watch out for false prophets. They cry, Lord, Lord, but what it really means, not to perform, teach, or do all things declared of the Father. That's a faulty foundation because it means you called the Most High a liar and said you believed in him. Scripture says, he who has his words and understands them then is a wise man. And many will come and see, said in that day, saying, did we not in your name preach? In your name cast out illusions? In your name do many wonderful works or inspired works? Messiah said, keep away from me, I never knew you. If you never knew, my brothers and sisters, who Messiah said he is and loved what he said he must do to expose all the folly of an entire world, treacherous status quo. If you haven't loved that appearing under that eventuality, have you loved God at all? If you haven't loved, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures say Messiah is, despite of a whole world, choosing to ignore it. Have you loved God at all? Have you had the faith? The promise, my brothers and sisters, that a whole world might be blessed. But the Most High first has to make a people one in him, having a love enough for him to cast aside all their illusions when they hear the truth, that they might be collectively one, that they might be that invariant light that gives glory unto Yah, that the whole world might see it. Or do men actually believe that the Most High wants to save a people, make them light, and let them just rule over people who will be constantly their enemies? Is that what you really believe? My brothers and sisters, we're going to have to learn gratitude enough for the Most High. Gratitude enough unto the Most High for having loved us enough to show us the truth. That we want to show that truth to others. Even, my brothers and sisters, seeking to exude the light of that truth in a world, my brothers and sisters, prepared to hate it. Like I said, for a long time, men have hated the truth of the Most High. I said, hated the truth of the Most High and called it love. Hated the absolution the Most High would bring in remembrance of all things and called it love. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Scriptures talk about putting upon ourselves the whole armor of Yah. That we might no longer be enemies. That we might stand up against the wiles of the devil to cause us to fall victim to the misallegiances of this world. What you find in Ephesians 6 chapter and Isaiah 59 calls men enemies who will not seek and love the whole truth. Yah is all and everything that he is, nothing that he is not. That's the meaning of his name. Shall we say because we love peace is in part according to our own design that we've loved him? Or do we really believe that we change his knowledge, even his personality, according to our expectations? Who is it, my brothers and sisters, must convert if we're going to find the gift of eternal life? Is it man or is it Yah, my brothers and sisters? Or dare men say they're going to hold the truth hostage because men are going to do everything they can to make sure that people don't understand? My brothers and sisters, the Most High is about to bring something on this entire planet to cause men to realize that unless they remember the truth and they yield themselves to the truth, there's no hope of life, peace, nor salvation. Most High says if you really want to know the plan, that he's going to reveal his truth to his elect one day. Yes, even the reappearing of Messiah. That he would restore the truth through him. One who will come forth saying, morning by morning, the Most High caused my ears to hear the teaching, I will not turn back the rebellious way. To declare, know how to declare a word to the weary. Even saying that if men continue to walk after the sparks that they've imagined and thought were light, they will have of his hands that they lie down in sorrow. My brothers and sisters, the day comes when every word of animosity against the truth must perish. But even that, my brothers and sisters, must be an expectation that you love. Because that day of judgment will bring a day of salvation the world has not known. Because it brings discretion the world has not long time not had. Or would you prefer to believe that you can Just follow whatever seems wise in your own heart, seeking personal covenant comfort in your time, being a misexample to those who follow you in your maybes, and expect the Most High with this will be pleased. My brothers and sisters, those who honor the name of the Most High know they cannot misrepresent Him. How many, my brothers and sisters, among us realize that only in remembering what can only be remembered through humility before the Most High, only that is love. Only that is the healing and the saving of any soul. Like I said, the truth on my website, my brothers and sisters, hiddengospel.com. I declare these truths and declare the remembrance of them. As I told you, the Most High told me these are words for the most humble soul. Precious words, but only for the most humble soul, having the greatest love of the truth. But they are truths, my brothers and sisters, that prove a whole world treacherous. But what do you think? Most High is one, the world is divided. Who do you think, my brothers and sisters, is the wise one? Who do you believe is the one that is faithful, and who is the one do you think is treacherous? My brothers and sisters, it is written that even if a whole world be a liar, let Yah be true, meaning it's possible for a whole world to be a liar. It's possible for the whole world to be deceived rather than perceptive. And quite frankly, that is what the scriptures say concerning Messiah, and that He will restore these things, that unto Him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance to Him. Because He is the one the Most High has sent to restore these things. But who, my brothers and sisters, willing to understand the plan? It's not what the churches would tell you, not what the pastors would teach you, because if you knew these things, you know to seek beyond them. And they function in a very highly competitive arena, demanding that they have your trust. But my brothers and sisters, how trustworthy are they? Most I said, a faithful minister of Yahweh seeks to teach you all things. Scriptures tell you, my brothers and sisters, that, the Holy Spirit says, we teach all things, no lie in it. After what spirit is it, my brothers and sisters, that they seek to hide the truth? I want you to think about something for a minute. There are many who would flatter the minds and hearts of people. Many who, I've heard of people, they call themselves, for instance, chaplains. And they have flattering words for people in all manner of denominations and ideals, just there to preside and offer comfort, even if this means that they have to lie to the people. Shame. There are those, however, that believe in deathbed, they say deathbed admissions unto repentance. But if my brothers and sisters, men are constantly flattered in their last opportunity, if it could be accepted, because there's a lot of growing to do. Last opportunity to repent for having lied, and men are flattered to continue to believe in. Aren't these flattering words just tickets straight to hell? But see, pastors are oftentimes hired to preside over funerals. And in every denomination, everybody teaches something different. They all say they're ready for the kingdom, the holy kingdom of Yah, that is true to Yah and Yah alone. You better realize how treacherous that is, my brothers and sisters. I can only tell you that the scriptures tell us, and I think about that song, I will remember you. It talks about a time of bereavement on the part of many, for those whose conscience will not be raised to understand these things. But it's a time of bereavement, my brothers and sisters, which the Most High should begin to awaken those who will and gather together those who will as we begin to move forward unto what was always promised. But my brothers and sisters, it's always been about realizing that true love is a level of maturation the Most High has to give. The Most High causes you to feel what are His promises, what He desires for mankind, and the greatness of His love. How much He has endured, how much, in fact, He has been grieved at the heart of man having been turned away, but still having love enough to want to bring man again to remembrance. I can only tell you, my brother, since I've had it happen to me, Most High let you feel the pain that He's felt from mankind over the course of many, many ages. My brothers and sisters, I'm thankful for that because I believe, and in fact I know, an experience like that is one that will give you a heart if you didn't have one. It's time to remember, my brothers and sisters. Remember that in which the Most High will be pleased. And finally, my brothers and sisters, come to a point of humble repentance. Even what we call godly sorrow for what man has done, but also a love, my brothers and sisters, and a rejoicing that the Most High, indeed, despite what has been the heart of men, to bring to bear what the prophecies say when it says all eyes shall see the glory of the Most High. It won't be a matter about whether people want to see it or not. The truth, my brothers and sisters, if you believe it, counts you wise. But if you don't believe it, it makes you, or it proves you a fool. The truth is what it is. I can only say to you, my brothers and sisters, that it's only the restoration of that truth and remembrance of what man has forgotten. It's only that
90 seconds
that will restore and bring to bear the holy kingdom on this earth. Because indeed, my brothers and sisters, the hearts of men will mend. The hearts of those who are true to God mind will mend. I can tell you, my brothers and sisters, it's time to have faith. It's time to have faith and believe. Prayerfully, there'll be many, my brothers and sisters, who will quickly awaken.
60 seconds.
Not to have to be so heavily coerced. We'll catch on quickly, say, word of the wise is sufficient unto a day of redemption and atonement. But there's only atonement in, hey, think about it, man falling away from faith was his sin. Only man remembering and believing again what he forgot is the hope of his atonement. Prayerfully, we will quickly, those of us who are wise, will learn quickly to learn the love what we have long forgotten and ignored. And have been pronated not to even believe that we never allow that which is always so precious unto our redemption, ever be lost and forgotten again. Check out that website of mine, my brothers and sisters, Bible in hand, prayerfully. Ask the Most High to show you all these things and not to forget. I thank the Most High, my brothers and sisters, for every ear that He brings near. To His mighty honor and His praise always, Shabbat Shalom and Hallelujah! Again, I thank you all again for listening. Time to remember. Time to love.
Close to our feelings, we touch again, we love again. Remember when we thought our hearts would never mend, and we're